Hi there, I'm Ryan Penny, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. Today, we're bringing back our panel of influential Catholics to seek an answer to this intense question, is Catholicism becoming cool? Are we seeing a Catholic revival in the United States? To answer those questions, I'm joined by the founder of Boldly Beloved and host of the brand new Here I Am Stories podcast on EWTN, Kim Zember. She's joining us today from Texas. And next, we have the host of Sips with Sarah on YouTube, catechist Adrian Lawson. He is with us from California. And finally, we have apologist and speaker Cameron Riker. He's joining us from Illinois. Kim, at least two of your Here I Am episodes on EWTN's YouTube channel have gotten a flag by the Trevor Project placed underneath the videos saying, conversion therapy refers to a range of dangerous and discredited practices aimed at changing one's sexual orientation or gender identity or expression. Obviously, the implication being that YouTube is warning viewers that some of the ideas communicated in this video may promote these discredited practices. What is your take on the Trevor Project, social media censorship, and what this means for evangelization today?
Well, it makes me sad, to be honest. When I see those things, I just wonder sometimes, I'm like, am I in America anymore? Where is the freedom of speech? You know, the show that we put out there is people telling their stories. And as far as I remember in this country, we're allowed to do that. Whether you agree with it or not is really up to you. That's your free will, right? And so to me, you know, when that language is used, they're going to change you. They're going to convert you. I would say there's a little bit of that word missing. I believe it's an exchange, right? For me as a Catholic, everything's like a divine exchange. I give God my life that he gave me, and I say, make something beautiful out of it, right? That's a choice. I was not forced to change my sexuality. I was not forced to not be with women. I was not forced in any way from God. And so my heart's posture is never to force someone. And so it makes me sad that it's slapped with these labels, and maybe there are people out there. I don't want to minimize that there might be people out there that are trying to force people to change or to do these things. But when someone simply wants to share their experience, their life, I just pray that we can honor each other as human beings. And to me, when we flag things like that, we're not having an honor for someone's journey.
Exactly. It's like on the one hand, social media, I guess they would say that they're trying to protect those who might be forced. But at the same time, in doing that, they're discrediting those who have had genuine, legitimate experiences. So they're not really helping anything. And obviously forgetting the fact that we do live in America. So, Adrian, do you think that social media censorship has had any influence on this apparent revival towards Catholicism that we've been seeing?
In a way, I think that the culture that led to social media censorship has now led to this revival, because now with Catholicism, you know, the question we're answering is it cool again? What is cool is usually what is countercultural and what is like, what, you know, if you're a kid, you're like, what are the old people saying? I want to go against that. Right. And for the last generation or so, we've had a culture that's been, you know, one that is for censoring these kind of stories and for censoring, simple biological truths, for example. And so younger people are rebelling against that. And that means they're going in the direction of traditional religion like Catholicism. So I think in that way, it's kind of helped us in a strange sense.
Yeah. So more on this censoring biological truths, as Adrian just said. Cameron, I want to get your take on this. The church's teachings on sexuality, as everybody knows, are often regarded as one of the biggest obstacles to people's embrace of Catholicism. So what is the modern day evangelist to do in our Trevor Project world?
Well, the first thing I think is pray, and pray intensely. Evangelization without prayer is absolutely ineffectual. It is our Lord and our Lady who changed the hearts and minds of masses. It is not our job. We are messengers, and we are here to make sacrifices, to do penance, and to pray. That's our job as evangelists, and then share the truth in the best way that we know how. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is, just to echo what Adrian said, is there's this pendulum swing. Every generation becomes the opposite of the generation that raised them in a very real way. If you look at this in the Enlightenment and the Reformation, Reformation says faith alone, no reason, we don't need it. That's what's going on for a while. And then you see the pendulum swing in the opposite direction. The Enlightenment happens. Reason alone, faith is subordinated to reason. We're going to do what's most logical. We're not going to surrender our intellects totally to God. So there's this pendulum swing all throughout history. And I think we're right on the edge, like I've said in our previous episode, talking about how I think America really will become a Catholic nation very quickly, very soon. We're right on the edge of that pendulum swinging in the other direction. And when that happens, it's going to be relatively easy, I think, to evangelize. Look at 100 years ago, 200 years ago, living with a girlfriend or a boyfriend prior to marriage was societally frowned upon by everyone, basically, at least in America and first world countries like this. And then we're seeing this pendulum swing to the other side where it's now almost the social norm. It's expected for people to live together prior to marriage. And we're at the end of this. This is going away quickly. This is something that's displeasing to our Lord and our Lady, and they are quickly taking care of it, I think. So we're going to see the pendulum start to swing back in the other direction. And I think that maybe 100 years from now, we'll actually be having conversations that are in the opposite direction, wondering if we're too puritanical, wondering if we've gone too far in the other direction, because this is just the way that human nature works. This is the way that human history works.
Yeah, from everything you've just said, I'm wondering, it's like, well, great, well, what happens when the pendulum swings into the opposite extreme? And hopefully what's happening right now is that the Holy Spirit, it seems like he is making people realize that Catholicism is the golden mean between extremes. It's the only logical path forward. It's not faith, and it's not faith alone. It's not reason alone. It's faith and reason, for instance. And it seems like more and more people are realizing that today, and that is what's really cool. So, Kim, you, no less than any other Catholic, have had an opportunity to be presented not just with rejection of Catholicism, but outright hostility towards it. So what is your advice for those who want to be bold witnesses to our Lord and his church, but don't know how to handle extreme negativity from people?
I think when you experience such goodness, goodness will fight for you, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I don't wake up in the morning being like, okay, how am I going to fight today? I'm like, Lord, I need more of you, right? So I don't depend on myself. I think the more you press in the Lord, the more you let him kind of do what he wants to do in your life, he's going to fight for you. I mean, it's all through the scriptures, right? And so I think sometimes we focus on the fight and we forget about the surrender to our Lord. And it's like, hey, here's more of me, not just my sexuality, not just my struggles, but here's my day. And whatever this day consists of, I want you to be Lord over it. And so it really points back to a personal relationship with Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it's better that he goes so that the Holy Spirit can come. He can counsel, he can guide. Look, struggles are a part of the human life. So we're going to face them. I guess for me, I'm just like, Lord, I need you to fight for me and with me. So I just lean deeper into him. And it's cool. I don't pray for boldness. I just get with the Lord more, and he's bold and the Holy Spirit is bold. And so the more that we soak in of the Lord, the more we're going to be squeezed out in the world. And you start to live, or at least what I'm beginning to experience, is that our life is not our own. I'm like, so whatever I'm faced with, like, Lord, you're worth it. If he's truly number one in my life and in our lives, then he's worth whatever cost, right?
Mm. Kim, that's so beautiful. And everything that you just said is reminding me of what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that love doesn't count the cost. You know, and as long as we just, it's like, I just keep hearing this word of surrender. Surrender it all to the Lord, because he's got it all. We don't have to be on the defensive and afraid. He's infinitely generous with his goodness. And if we just receive it, if we have the heart to receive it, and it just, what we want is for his love to pour forth from us to others, so we don't have to be afraid. I loved everything you said. That was awesome. So Adrian, as a brand new YouTuber, have you experienced any persecution on the digital island, and how have you been responding?
To be honest, I haven't experienced a whole lot of censorship from social media or anything like that. I think social media platforms are starting to get the hint that this is not a good way to do things. I know Mark Zuckerberg famously revealed that he was going to kind of ease up on that kind of thing. So Facebook and Instagram have been pretty lax, to be honest. YouTube has, you know, put some community notes or whatever under my videos in the past. But other than that and some mean comments here and there, it's actually been pretty nice weather on this digital island.
That's good to hear. And maybe that's a good sign. And that the fact that this pendulum swing that we're talking about is not just in regards to people in the faith, but it's even in the secular space of people, I guess, just becoming exhausted with all the censorship and just realizing that it's not, it's been tried and found wanting. So that's a good thing. Cameron, what has been your experience with online or in person with any hostility that you've seen towards the faith? And what is your list of best practices for the aspiring evangelist?
So I think if you are evangelizing and trying to spread the gospel with purity of intention, and these persecutions, these mean comments, censorship, etc., whenever these things come, praise God. Praise God, because the final beatitude is blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of the kingdom, for righteousness' sake. And so if you are being persecuted, it's an indication that something is going tremendously right. I would say the most persecution that I receive, probably just looking at the comments, is whenever I talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that is, I think, because the devil, and I'm not slandering Protestants, I'm not trying to do any of that, but I think that from a Catholic perspective, if you look at what's going on, the devil knows that anybody who falls into the clutches, so to speak, of the Blessed Virgin Mary is no longer his property or possession. Anybody who Mary glances at is immediately converted. Their hearts are given to the Lord in a tremendously powerful way. Our Lady of Fatima revealed the final battle between the kingdom of heaven and Satan is over marriage and the family. And then she assured Sister Lucia, the visionary of Fatima, and said, in the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. And I think we're seeing that right now, talking about the LGBTQ plus community, talking about these conversions, talking about young people entering into the faith in droves, talking about these men and women who are going to start families, have large families, hopefully in the faith. All of this is happening because of the intercession of our Blessed Virgin Mother in heaven. And the devil, who has any kind of grip on anybody, will try as hard as he can to plant seeds of emotional disrest, anger, resentment, sorrow, jealousy, whatever he can towards the Blessed Virgin Mary, to do anything within his power to keep people from saying even one Hail Mary, from thinking about Our Lady and her purity and her excellence at all. And so that's where I probably get the most persecution and the most backlash on my channel, is people telling me all these things that are simply false about Our Lady. And I think that's why. I would say, too, is the fact that that exists is an indication exactly what everyone watching this should do with their spiritual life. Look at the last 500 years. I think every single pope, with very few exception, has recommended the rosary as a spiritual devotion that they encourage the faithful to pick up. Our Lady of Fatima made a special trip down from heaven, performed the largest miracle ever witnessed since the crossing of the Red Sea in the Old Testament, witnessed by over 70,000 people. And what did she ask for? She asked for us to pray the rosary daily. So I think that if you are doing what is right and you're trying honestly with purity of intention to move the ball in the right direction, to preach the gospel, and you're praying the rosary, I think that victory is assured, and the persecutions are battles that you will look back upon from heaven and rejoice that you were faithful in those.
Cameron, I think that you've just said one of the most important things that can be said on this show, is that everything that what's happening right now with revival in the way of the Catholic faith, Our Lady's behind all of it. And we shouldn't be surprised by the fact that this is really spiritual warfare. Think of the book of Revelation, chapter 12. You know, this is between Our Lady and the serpent, right? And the serpent going against the offspring of Our Lady and those who follow the commandments of Jesus. That's what this is about. And so Mary is like is in the lead on that, and Satan knows it. So anytime that you or anybody, and I've seen the great fruit of preaching about Our Lady on YouTube and how people are drawn to it, and that's where some of the most intense animosity can be. But we shouldn't be surprised by that. So I love everything that you just said. And so it's definitely about Our Lady, and it's also must be front and center, the source and summit of our faith, about the Eucharist. Kim, you've said that you go to Mass and adoration almost every day, if not every day, some people, even Catholics, would say that that you're being extreme. You say it's necessary. So tell us how your love for Jesus is inseparable from your time with him in the Blessed Sacrament.
Well, I would say to anybody, if you say you love someone, but you don't want to spend time with them, I'm concerned about your love. Like, I want to spend time with them. Nobody's telling me you have to go to Mass. If you don't go to Mass, you're not really Catholic. You don't really love Jesus. No, it's the love in my heart, the love that he has for me. My response back to him is to be with him. And if there's a chance to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, right? In the Eucharist, the only place that you can find him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, I'm going to go receive him. I don't care how little of sleep, how much I've been traveling, what country I'm in, what time zone I'm in. He's food for me. He's food to my soul. Look, my body itself, I can fast. I can do all of these things, but my soul is hungry and I don't know of another soul food. I read the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I consume it, just like it says in the scriptures, right? Eat the scroll. But we actually could receive the flesh and blood of Jesus. And if that is available, I'm there. Like, I'm there. And not because I have to, but because I'm hungry. And I usually start my day with receiving Jesus and then just sitting with him. Because I can very much be a Martha, busy around, but I want to be a Mary that sits at his feet and then goes out like Martha did and do whatever he tells me. And even as it was brought up about Mary, you know, when we look at Mary, she always looks to her son and as recorded in scripture, do whatever he tells you, right? And so this is not Mary versus Jesus. This is not, oh, I'm more in the Eucharist and less in the rosary. No, no, no. This is a family of God that God himself gave us. And so for me, it's about he's made himself available. He's humbled himself to show himself in the bread of life that I believe we're meant. He says, give us this day our daily bread. And so he's my daily bread in the Eucharist, in the Word, and in his presence.
Amen. Amen. We need food for our bodies and we need food for our souls. And our Lord has given that to us. Like Sam and Frodo on their way to Mount Dune being fed daily by the Lammas bread, right? We are meant to be strengthened by our daily bread. And so we shouldn't, you know, be surprised about any of this. Adrian, you've been public about your family, about your family's and your struggles with mental health and why that was one of your drivers toward Catholicism. How has that faith helped you in this regard? And how do you think the evangelizing church needs to show up, especially for those who struggle with mental health?
Yeah, well, Kim and Cameron just gave, you know, the two answers that basically brought me to the Catholic faith. It was the Eucharist, learning about what the Eucharist actually is, what the early church believed it is, what the scriptures tell us it is, and the rosary. I was praying the rosary years before I became a Catholic, not, you know, as frequent as I do now, but it was something that became kind of a staple in my life, and it really did help me with some mental health struggles. 2020, everybody that I knew at least was going through something mental because we're all locked in our houses. So that was a year when I started struggling with panic attacks and just general anxiety. And it was the rosary that kind of allowed me to calm my mind. It was kind of these more traditional practices, even reciting the creed, the Apostles' Creed. These more traditional and structured practices became very crucial to my mental health long before I became a Catholic. And then it was the Eucharist that just this beautiful, tangible thing that we have in the Eucharist, and we don't have to guess, is Jesus here? Is God here? We know that he's there because he's there in the Eucharist. So it was a lot of this, the physicality, the objectiveness of our faith, where we don't have to guess these things. We go to confession, we know that our sins are forgiven. There's no guessing game that goes along with that. And then the structure of the rosary that allowed me to calm my mind and my soul in these times of turmoil. And I think what the church can do, what we can do as Catholics, is to let that be known to other people. You know, this has helped me a lot, and there's a lot of people struggling with anxiety, depression, many different things that plague the human nowadays in our digital era. So letting them know how these things have impacted us, which people like Kim and Cameron are doing, which is great, is going to tell those people, oh, there's something I can reach out to for this. Like, I'm having this issue. this person had this issue and this is how they found healing in that. I'm going to go and try to find healing in the same source.
Yeah, and it's amazing how even as those of us who are in the Catholic faith trying to live it every day, it's easy for us to forget in the heat of the moment sometimes the importance of surrendering and that we need to turn to our Lord in these moments of anxiety. So all the more for those who have never been Catholic. And so it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we're not shy about sharing about what our Lord's done for us so people can know that that's the lifeboat right there. It's waiting for you. So Cameron, you've given a lot of airtime on your channel toward helping people overcome pornography addiction. Are people starting to see the church as this lifeboat in our lust-saturated culture?
Yeah, I think certainly. It's once again, whenever you have a strong distaste for something, you naturally seek for the exact opposite of that. And thousands, probably millions of men in America are struggling with addiction to lust, and they want to quit, but they find themselves incapable. And so what do? They seek for the thing that is the most opposite of the culture that they're immersed in, of the patterns, the habits that they have. And where do you find that? Well, you find that in the Catholic Church's teaching on sexuality. It's a radical teaching. What Jesus gave to the church is an absolutely radical teaching on human sexuality. Jesus Christ taught us that every single volitional thought, word, or deed that is sexual outside of the context of marriage is a sin. That's a radical, radical thing. And Kim mentioned this earlier, but the concept of surrender, right? You only find the peace, the rest that Jesus Christ promises. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. You only find that rest with a complete and total surrender to the will of God. You can't give him 90%. He doesn't want it. He wants everything that you've got. And so people are turning away from porn, lust, all of these things, fornication. I talk to dozens of men on a weekly basis who are recovering from this, and that's a large part of what I do is to try to help them. But they're turning to the Catholic faith, and they're looking to Our Lady, who is the exemplar of purity. And guys are getting over it. It's working. We're seeing Our Lord and Our Lady really come down, condescend, and help these men to rise up from the mire that they're steeped in. Probably similar to what Kim is doing in a certain sense. I don't work with people who have a history of LGBTQ. I just work with regular young men, most of whom are addicted to pornography and trying to quit. But it's working. People are coming into the church in droves. And I want to make this point too, which is really important, is the family will go the way of the father. That's simply the way that God has set it up. If the father is good and faithful, most of the time, the children will be good and faithful and the wife will be as well. If the father is not good and faithful, most of the time, the children will go the way of the world. And so this final battle that I referenced earlier about marriage and the family, the only thing in a qualified sense, the only thing that matters is fatherhood. And so what I'm trying to do with these young men who are coming out of these pasts is help them, equip them, give them what they need to be good and chaste husbands and fathers like St. Joseph, right? And it's working. It's working. Our Lady and Our Lord are blessing everything that all three of us, I think, are doing, and we're starting to see the fruits of that. So glory to Jesus Christ.
Our Lady, just as we were saying earlier, isn't just bringing people into the church, into her son. What that means is that she's meeting people in the mire, like you said, who are just in the quicksand of our lust-saturated culture. She's not leaving them there. She's drawing them to the light of her son and changing lives by the droves every single day. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And Kim, to you, a similar question about how Cameron has been helping those, especially young men, with pornography addiction. What is some of the practical advice that you've seen worked especially for those who were in the LGBTQ lifestyle? They're trying to get out of it. Obviously, Our Lady, Our Lord, having to cling close to them. What are some of the practical things that you think Our Lady and Our Lord are drawing them to that seems to work to help them to break out of the clutches of that lifestyle?
Community. Community is huge. You know, Satan picks us off when we're isolated, right? It's much harder to snatch someone who's in a group. And so being authentic, being transparent, stopping this like, oh, I got to appear a certain way. Be real. Be transparent, be honest about your struggles. Don't hide it. God heals what he can touch. And he's a gentleman. He honors our free will. So if we don't want to expose things, he's like, okay, well, then I guess we'll wait to heal it. Can he do that? Could he heal? Absolutely. But he chooses to honor what we're willing to expose. And so with that, like you said it, keeping Jesus first. If he's not number one, everything's out of order. If community is first for you, then your life is out of order. Jesus has to, in order for him to be Lord, he's got to be over those things. And so having Jesus in his rightful place on the throne of your heart saying, you are my Lord and everything underneath that I give to you. And community is so important. We were not meant to do it alone. We're not meant to do this journey alone. When Adam was in the garden, God was with him and God looked at him and said, it's not good that man be alone. Now, an expression of that is marriage, but please, if you have same-sex attraction, do not just think, okay, then I need to go get married to the opposite sex. No, get with Jesus. Let him bring good, healthy friendships, holy friendships. Let him show you what goodness looks like in relationship. And then maybe he has you get married. Maybe he has you be single and sold out for the kingdom of God. Whatever, it's up to him, but we need each other. You are never meant to do this alone, never. Yes, you need God, but God said himself, we need one another. So I think that is huge. I think it's pivotal. And I think in community, we have to be real. We have to be transparent. We have to be authentic about where we're really at. And that's how the Lord can move through the people we're walking with. But people that are walking with us, we also have to be safe. We have to be a safe place. We can't just try to fix the people we're walking with. We gotta bear burden with them, walk with them, realize our own brokenness as we see their brokenness, and we come together in our brokenness and we walk with Jesus to the cross. So,
Kim, what a tremendous way to end this two-part conversation. The message of hope is just flowing from you, from Adrian and Cameron, all of you. Thank you so much for the grace-filled words that you've been sharing with us for this whole conversation. Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. Everyone can go check out your amazing platforms on social media. And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to join us right here next week on The Catholic Sphere.